My message this morning is the second in a series of three on close encounters of the spiritual kind which Jesus had with individuals as they are recorded in the Gospel of John. In 1989, as part of a sabbatical, I spent 3 weeks in Nicaragua, where I went to work with my seminary roommate on a Habitat for Humanity project. The village in which this Habitat project was taking place was called Mulukuku. It was way out in the middle of Nicaragua. I have never been so hot in my life. The place would be drenched with rain every day, and then the sun would come out and it would be just like a sauna. Mud was everywhere, and I found the heat and the humidity debilitating and almost unbearable. I spent a good part of my time drinking from my canteen and soaking my cap in water and pouring it over my head. Never before nor since have I had such an insatiable desire and thirst for water. Our scripture this morning is about thirst and about a spring of water gushing up into eternal life. It is a story of discovery, transformation, and the invitation of God to live in a new relationship and a new experience of love and grace. The person of interest in this story is the woman who comes to the well near Sychar to draw water. We know three things about this woman. First of all, she is a Samaritan. She is a pagan and an enemy as far as the Jews were concerned, the equivalent to us of a terrorist or a child molester. The violent quarrels between the Jews and the Samaritans were so bad that the Roman legions had to intervene between them. The other thing we know about her is that she is a woman. Women had no rights whatsoever in that society. They were not allowed to worship with men. They were not to be seen or heard, especially by holy men who do not even speak to their wives in public. It was completely improper for a woman to speak, for a man to speak to a woman in public. We also know that she was a fallen and a victimized woman. She had had five husbands, and now she was doing the modern thing, living with a man without being married to him. She was a victim of men who have married her, tired of her, and gotten rid of her. The man with whom she is living now is just using her and will soon get rid of her too. She doesn't show up at the well in the morning with the other women. She is probably too embarrassed and humiliated to do that because they all know her story. She knows she is not welcome at their morning get-togethers at the well. So it's less painful for her to come at noon in the heat of the day when no one else is there. She's an outsider, three times over. She stands in sharp contrast to Nicodemus, the man whom we looked at last week in his close encounter of the spiritual kind with Jesus. He was a highly respected man. She is a despised and inferior woman. Nicodemus came at night, and he took the initiative. She comes in broad daylight, and it is Jesus who takes the initiative. Nicodemus responded to Jesus with uncertainty, misunderstanding, and caution. In the end, we never know whether Nicodemus confessed Jesus as Messiah or not. The woman not only ends up believing in Jesus, but goes and tells everybody in town about the encounter she has had with him, and the result is that many Samaritans come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. If the woman is the person of interest in the story, it is Jesus, however, who is the central person in the story. He sits by the well at Sychar while the disciples have taken their only bucket and gone off to buy some food. There would be good reason for Jesus to shun this woman, but Jesus does not. Instead, he engages her in conversation, much to the shock and dismay of his disciples. At first, the conversation doesn't seem to hold much promise. There are too many differences between them: race, gender, religion. He asks for a drink. She wonders why in the world he would be asking this of her. Jesus replies that if she only knew who were asking, she would ask him for water because he can give living water. It's almost as though they are talking past each other, which is typical of many of the conversations with Jesus as they are recorded in the Gospel of John. The woman talks about drawing water from the well and asks if he thinks he's greater than Jacob, who dug this well. Jesus replies by talking about the water that he can give, water that will quench a person's thirst forever, a spring of water gushing up into eternal life. Then, instead of Jesus being the one who was seeking water, the woman becomes the one seeking the water that Jesus is giving, that Jesus is talking about. And she says, "Sir, give me this water." It's still not clear that they are talking about the same thing. But the important thing is that the woman wants the water that Jesus is offering. The story goes on. There's the revelation about the woman's marital situation, her conclusion that Jesus is a prophet. There's a discussion about the difference between Jewish and Samaritan worship. And then the woman says, "I know the Messiah is coming." And Jesus says, "I am he." The woman then runs off to the village to tell everyone, "Come see a man who told me everything I have ever done." In a man's world, this woman, a loser three times over, this woman is the first evangelist in the Gospel of John. Her testimony is hardly a recitation of the steps to peace with God or the plan of salvation. In fact, it is in the form of a question, and a tentative one at that. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? The villagers apparently decide the answer is yes. And John tells us that many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. They said, "We know that this is the Savior of the world." The story of this unnamed woman becomes a movement toward faith when she said, "Give me this water." When she became a seeker of what Jesus had to offer. When I was a young person growing up in the church, going to Sunday school, going to church camp, going to youth groups, worshiping with my family in church, there came a day in my life when I became a seeker of what Jesus had to offer. And there have been many times in my life since when I have become a seeker of what Jesus has to offer. Times of discouragement and pressure. Times when I've asked myself, "What in the world am I doing here?" This isn't one of those times, by the way, when I'm asking what in the world I'm doing. But there have been those times when I've wondered, what was going on and what was I doing here? And I have wanted what Jesus had to offer. There have no doubt been times in your life when you have cried out to Jesus, "Give me this water." When you have become a seeker of what it is that Jesus has to offer. When you have asked, "What am I doing here? What is life all about? Who is Jesus? How does God relate to my life?" Maybe you have felt trapped or feel trapped now in an endless, non-satisfying, non-fulfilling cycle of getting up, doing what you have to do, coping as best you can with the struggles of life, and then going back to bed at night, and you say to yourself, or you say to Jesus, give me this water, and you become a seeker of what it is that Jesus has to offer. Perhaps you were or are afraid of what is taking place in the world with good justification. Terrorists, economic and financial worries, wars, violence, personal losses, and change itself. And you become a seeker of what it is that Jesus has to offer, and you say, sir, give me this water. There is a progression in the woman's understanding of Jesus. She moves through several stages after she becomes a seeker of what it has that he can give. First, she calls him a Jew. Then she calls him Sir or Lord. And then she calls him a prophet. And finally, she calls him Messiah, the anointed one of God. Step by step, Jesus reveals more of himself to her and leads her on a faith journey. It's not just a natural journey or evolution or maturing of faith that she undertakes by herself, but rather it is Jesus who has an active role in leading her to true and life-giving faith. He can play that role in your life and my life too, as Jesus leads us further and further into understanding what it is that he has to offer to you and to me. The woman's affirmation of faith reaches its climax when the Samaritans declare, "We know that this truly is the Savior of the world." They say that they make this affirmation no longer because of the woman's words, but because they have heard Jesus for themselves. And that is the ultimate destination of the journey of faith in which Jesus leads you and me. When we become a seeker of what Jesus has to offer, Jesus leads us to the place to know for ourselves that he is the Savior and Lord, and that he is the giver of water gushing up into eternal life. On another day, also about noon, Jesus will face death and again confess his thirst. On that day, only vinegar will be offered in mockery. The gift of his living water will not be apparent to the one holding the sour sponge. But on this day, when Jesus and the Samaritan woman meet, the water that is offered and received will bring life out of death. And as strange as it may seem, from the death of Jesus on the cross, there does indeed come a spring of water gushing up into eternal life. Pouring forth from this costly demonstration of unexpected love, there is life-giving water for all our thirsty souls. A drop of water is only a drop. A minor and moist detail, for a drop can't change the color and taste in a 10-quart watering pail. But if that drop has the color of love and the taste of tears divine, then one drop in the vessel of life can change the water to wine. Sir, give us this water. Let us pray. Our loving God, we come to you today in various degrees of thirst. yearning for that water of life that only you can give through Jesus. As we yearn for what it is that Jesus has to offer to us, we pray that he might lead us further and further into discovering that costly and unexpected love which gushes up in us into eternal life. Wherever we are at today, O God, may the water of that love quench our thirsty souls and give us that new life from above. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.